Well, it's Christmas week. Did you think you'd ever get there? I didn't at times, but it is Christmas week. Welcome to it. It is Monday, December 20th, 2021. It's your Richie Allen Show, live from Salford.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. This is your Richie Allen Show, live from the magnificent city of Salford.
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Well, I've only got two terrific guests for you to kick off the week's programmes. In the second hour, Stacey Rudin returns to the Richie Allen Show. Stacey was with me late last year. She was terrific. She's a writer, activist, community leader and a former litigator. Do not miss Stacey Rudin in the second hour. Before that, I'll be joined by Thomas Renz. Tom is the lead attorney in several major cases brought in Ohio, Maine, New Mexico and elsewhere in the US against the CDC, President Joe Biden and Anthony Fauci. He's taking on the vaccine mandates, big tech censorship and much more. Tom Renz joins me this hour. Busy old programme. As usual, if you'd like to participate in it, drop me a message through richieallen.co.uk. That's my website. Comment live on the menu bar. That is how you speak your mind during the 2 hours that will follow now. So yeah, good. Good weekend. Did you? Are you happy that it's Christmas week? You can share that with me via the website. The garden party. The media is engineering outrage about the garden party. That's what it is doing. Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister, was snapped at a Downing Street garden gathering last May. Wine and cheese were served, apparently. His wife and his young baby were there too. 17 people mingling on the lawn, and the media is stirring up the outrage today. I couldn't give less of a fig. I couldn't give a shite. And they're bringing people on, aren't they? TV and radio today, they're bringing all sorts of people on. People who were prevented from doing something. People who obeyed the rules while Johnson was canoodling with his guests, you know. Listen to LBC to talk, radio to the BBC. They flooded the airwaves. Well, we buried me Auntie Bridie. Everybody is Irish in England, you see. There's so many Irish people. We buried me Auntie Bridie, and me Auntie Mary couldn't be there because we were only allowed 15 people at the funeral. We had to flip a coin between Auntie Mary and Uncle Al. And that fat bastard was whining and dining people in Downing Street, laughing at us. Yet other people on whinging about their weddings. You know, that porky prick of a Prime Minister was having a Barbie, and we weren't allowed in the care home to see our granny, and granny died. You know, the penny won't drop with these goons. Outrage, because they partied in Downing Street, and the unwashed didn't get to go to a wedding or a funeral. It astonishes me. No leap to, well, maybe this is all a load of old bollocks, maybe. Maybe the reason there are so many videos and photographs during lockdown of Johnson and his pals or his staff rubbing shoulders together, quaffing wine and making merry. Maybe because this is all a load of old bollocks, as we say back in God's country. But that leap is not being made by people. No, no, just outrage. We followed the rules and you didn't, you porky bastard. I loved Kay Burley this morning interrogating Dominic Raab on this subject. This is a forensic examination now of Kay. From Kay to Dominic Raab, the Justice Secretary, who also moonlights as the Deputy Prime Minister. Forensic this by Kay. Raab says, well, it's his home. He can do what he wants in his home, or something like that.
So it's fundamentally a place of work. So this is not a question of whether...
You can't take your baby to work, especially when we're in the middle of a lockdown and a COVID pandemic, surely?
Well, But, Kate, as you know, Number 10 is also the residence of the Prime Minister. He's got a very young family, and I think if you begrudge his wife coming down in a break from the business of the day,
I don't think that's right. She's not just popped her head around the door, has she? She sat down with the baby, nursing the baby. There's wine on the table, there's cheese there, there's at least 14, 15 other people in the garden.
And that's because it's a place of work. They're all in suits, predominantly in informal attire. The picture I saw had people.
No, it's on the screen at the moment. Have a look.
I think a large number of them. To be honest with you, the Prime Minister is in a suit. The officials there. But look, the point I'd make is this.
Have a look.
So some of them have taken their jackets off.
So it's only a business meeting if you've got a suit on.
Well, now you're changing your tune.
I'm asking you. I'm trying to see your point of view,
Let me answer, Kay. You normally do. You're normally fair about these things. This is a place of work, but it's also the residence of the Prime Minister. And sometimes, as with many work situations, particularly given the pressures that the Number 10 team are under, they might have a drink after the formal business has ended. That is not anything to do with the social mixing rules.
Okay.
And it's consistent with the guidance at the time.
No. Okay.
Let me ask you this then. Why would somebody take a picture of a business meeting?
That's why she gets paid the big bucks. That's why Kay is a grade A presenter. Why would someone take a picture of a business meeting? Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Dominic Raab.
Well, who knows? But there's been all sorts of pictures like that flying around. Clearly someone with an animus, but I don't know, is the short answer to the question.
But if you were in Number 11 and you saw people gathering in the garden, you wouldn't think, oh, that's a lovely picture. It's like a Rembrandt. I'll just take a quick photograph of that.
Rembrandt.
I don't think it looks like a Rembrandt.
It looks like people gathering when they shouldn't be. And so people at Number 11 being a little bit mischievous are taking a photograph of it and thinking, I'll put that in my back pocket for when I need it.
What a conspiracy theory by Kay Burley. Kay reckons that somebody in Number 11 Downing Street saw the illicit gathering, the illegal wine quaffing, and decided to take a quick snap, the snap that we saw on the national newspaper front pages today. Kay reckons somebody did that to hold it over, to use it, at the appropriate time. Well, they've not done a very good job of it, have they? If they've released it to the press, which they have, well, bang goes the blackmail potential of the photograph then. Kay, you didn't think that one through, did you, Kay?
Well, who knows, but there's been all sorts of...
Anyway, what does he think of that, Rab?
I couldn't possibly comment on someone's motivation. What I can say is Number 10, including the garden, is a place of work.
Including the garden. Number 10, including the garden, is a place of work.
And they were there having worked.
Can you accept that it looks a bit dodge?
It looks a bit... Look, I certainly take your point that perception with the public is very important. What I would say is I'd point to and let people look at the photo for themselves. Number 10 is a place of work, also the Prime Minister's home, and they use the garden for work meetings, and that's what you can see.
Yeah, there you are. There you are, Kay Burley. Well, Kay, well, she's just...
Fabulous.
It's all good.
Fabulous. So that's it, you see, people getting outraged about that, the fact that they had a shindig. And we had to stay in, we were good citizens, they weren't. Rather than making the leap to, as I said earlier, at the risk of repeating myself, what is really going on? Saucy Minx Kay Burley. Hey, the boffins were out in force to tell us that Plan B isn't enough. We need to do something more. Apparently there was an emergency cabinet meeting this afternoon, although an announcement about new restrictions on top of Plan B measures is unlikely this evening, apparently. But the boffins were out demanding that we do more to stop Omicron. Omicron is deadly, you see. Listen to Bharat Pankania. He's a senior Bharat Pankania is a senior clinical lecturer at the University of Exeter. He was asked, was Bharat, is Plan B enough? He was on Sky 2.
No, of course not.
Of course not.
We need to spell it out and spell it out so that it's understandable, which is infection control is a multifaceted operation. Boosters alone will not protect you. You need to wear your masks, wear good quality masks, and avoid the three C's.
Avoid the three C's.
Spell it out. Avoid the crowds.
Avoid the crowds.
Avoid the closed, poorly ventilated places.
Avoid the poorly ventilated places.
Avoid closed gatherings.
Avoid closed gatherings.
That
avoid everything.
That simple infection control measure will go a long way, and really it has to be multifaceted.
There's much talk about potential restrictions coming in perhaps after Christmas. Do you think more measures need to be taken now, with just a few days ahead of the big day?
So whenever we have an infectious agent amongst us, the person who acts fast, acts early and acts extensively will achieve better results. And I know politically it is not convenient to put in restrictions before December the 25th. But if I were acting as an infectious disease operator here, I would be saying, act fast, act early, act extensively. Most times you will get it right. Every now and then you will get it wrong. But, you know, you've got a rising tide of warning signals here, which is the case numbers are going up. We've got a variant that we don't know a lot about. And we've got this variant, which is bypassing the induced immunity. So we've got some warning signs. And nobody wants lockdowns. But I would say just apply some brakes. Some brakes is better than no brakes.
Some brakes is better than no brakes. That's a well-known scientific fact, that. We should avoid closed gatherings. We should avoid busy places. Bharat Pankhania there, who played Pontius Pilate in Exeter University stage version of The Life of Brian last year. He couldn't avoid it. It was the part he was born to play. He had a very great friend in Rome called Bigus Dicus, apparently. That's the level, by the way. But listen, if you're going to come on national television and radio and lie through your teeth, at least be able to talk, you know. Bigus Dicus, yes. Helen Philema Ratner, what a name. I think that's her name. Helen Philema Ratner, Buckingham University epidemiologist. She was on BBC Radio 5 Live. They're all mad for the restrictions.
A lot of people getting boosted over the last few days. How much of a difference is that going to make?
So the boosters are really important. So we mustn't forget that although we're talking about Omicron all the time at the moment, we've still got a lot of Delta transmission going on as well. So another dose, a booster dose, works in two ways. It gives good protection against Delta, and we're confident of that. And it also gives a level of protection against Omicron and other variants because it boosts the non-specific immune response as well. So it's a double whammy, and it's not going to stop us necessarily getting infected. It's not necessarily going to stop us actually passing on the virus if we're infected.
So why would you take it then, you daft bint? Why would you take it? It's not necessarily going to stop you getting infected or passing it on.
But it is going to give us the best chance at not becoming really, really ill. And it's also doing our bit to make sure that we're not putting extra stress on the NHS.
Yes, this is the line. I've written about this on richieallen.co.uk today. Let's do our best not to stress the NHS. Pay thousands of pounds, year in, year out. Families paying thousands if you've got a couple of people working in the family. Communities paying millions, hundreds of millions for the NHS, the National Health Service, supposed to be free at the point of use, at the point of need. But no. The new paradigm is don't do anything that might mean that you need some help from the NHS. Don't do anything. Can we stop paying for it then? No! No, you can't. Keep paying for it, but do everything you can, including capsize your business, wreck your future, destroy the mental well-being of your children in order to avoid needing the NHS. It's crazy, isn't it?
Is it surprising? I feel like a week or so ago we were talking about how rapidly Omicron was spreading and how it would quickly become the dominant strain across the UK. Are you surprised that hasn't happened? And that Delta, as you say, is still out there and in greater numbers?
Yeah, so Delta is still out there in large numbers. But if you just sort of rewind just a couple of weeks, we're hearing numbers like there's one case of Omicron in the UK, there's 11 cases of Omicron in the UK. And at the time, I remember saying that it's kind of irrelevant because if there's one, there's very soon going to be a lot. And I think...
What?
And I think that by the end of the year, it's highly likely that it will have outcompeted Delta.
It will have outcompeted Delta by the end of the year. We just need to avoid one another. We need to avoid public transport without wearing masks. We need to avoid Christmas parties, according to Bharat Pankania. That's the buzzword now for today. Oh, yeah. Hey, do you remember I told you that they wouldn't let up on the radio about punishing the anti-vaxxers? That's you, you sweaty bastards. You won't have your jabs. You won't do your bit for society. Oh, yeah. I said it would go on for weeks and weeks and weeks, didn't I? It went on again and again and again and again today. They're coming for us. Rachel is just the woman. Just a phoner inner. She's a phoner inner. She phoned in BBC Radio 5 Live to speak to Naga Munchetti, little elf, little pixie that sometimes presents BBC Breakfast. Tiny little thing. Marvellous little thing. Tiny, tiny little thing. Usually well-dressed, lovely. Rachel is just a member of the public. She phones in. Listen, before you hear Rachel, listen to Naga read out all the messages about what we should do to the unjabbed. Somebody called, I'm going to say Harold, phoned in to say that basically the unjabbed should be locked up. And the audience was delighted, or at least the BBC is selecting the messages carefully, the ones that support punishing the unjabbed.
David says, at last, Radio 5 had a person speaking sense. Let boosted people live a normal life. Paul in London says, agree with Howard. The vast majority are paying the price for the unvaccinated minority. The sanctions need to be applied to this group, not the nation as a whole. Premier League footballers behaving in the same selfish way. Interesting, we've seen Gareth Southgate, haven't we, Jurgen Klopp, talk about the moral obligation of people to be vaccinated. Kevin in Liverpool says, what a call from Howard. At last, someone saying what we all think. The minority are calling the shots. Either get vaccinated or lose the right to live a normal life.
Howard, get vaccinated or lose the right to live a normal life. Yes, it was Howard, not Harold.
Howard, I think Rachel... Have we still got Rachel? Rachel, yeah, near, yeah. Malvern, is kind of on the same page. Rachel, morning.
Good morning, Naga. Yes, I'm on exactly the same page. And I think it's been a long time coming that we were saying this. I think we're very fortunate in this country to have had the vaccine rollout that we've had. And I get very annoyed with this whole idea that, we have a real choice. We don't really have a choice. If we all want to go back to working and living as normal life as possible, we need to get the vaccine. And I think there's been enough encouragement, let's say, given to all groups now to have the vaccine. Those that choose not to, fine, OK, we can't actually force them to, but we can restrict their lives.
Stay with me, Rachel, stay with me. I just want to get back to Henry Moran. He was saying that we only needed to wait 2 hours. We could hang in there, Henry.
Yeah, she cut across, Rachel, to get the latest from Adelaide, where England got their arses handed to them again by the Aussies in the second Ashes test. After hearing the bad news that England had lost their ninth wicket, she got back to Rachel.
The only restrictions that should be brought in are passports for going to any venue that's got other people in it. So not in your family homes, obviously. But if you're going to a venue, hospitality, cinema, theatre, they shouldn't be closed, but people should have to show their COVID passports. And if you haven't been vaccinated, then you can't go.
When did you lose your patience with people who aren't being vaccinated?
A while ago.
What a question that is. Rather than say to Rachel, there are many people listening to this programme who would equate what you have just said to tyranny, punishing people for declining the offer of medical treatment. No, Naga Munchetti, the little pixie, she decides to say, when did you lose your patience with the unjabbed?
I'm honest, a couple of months ago, really. As I say, we've had the vaccine now in place for a long time. And you've encouraged as much as you can. Everybody's done that in the media and on the TV and the government, Chris Whitty, everybody's encouraged that. And the gentleman before who said it's mainly older people of an ethnic, it isn't. You've got 25% of the professional footballers not vaccinated. Mm. I'm sorry, don't play them. It's just this whole idea that people actually don't have to live by rules and have to do things when they're told to is totally ridiculous. We all have to live by rules at times. And, you know, I've got no time for it. No time at all. I just think everybody should be vaccinated. And if you're not, it's you that are curtailed, not those of us that have done the right thing.
Yes, those of us that have done the right thing, we get to live our lives. You should be curtailed because you didn't have the jab. Lovely. That's pretty much across the board, that. And those types of phone-ins will become more frequent. And those types of calls, I don't mean the phone calls, but the actual call for people like you and me who have said thank you but no thank you. But we may have put it a bit more colourfully when we were offered the jabs. There will be louder calls for something to happen to us. You must be banned from going places, or maybe you must be locked down, a la Austria, briefly, a couple of weeks back. We'll tell you to stay home until you come to your senses. Maybe there'll be fines, but I'm pretty sure in the new year there will be an attempt to, I think, to mandate the jabs. Yes. Thank you for the messages thus far, for your comments. I really appreciate it. I'll get to some of them before too long. Is it time to get my first guest on? It might be. Just before I do that, sure, I will read a few comments. Go to richieallen.co.uk, top of the page. It's quite simple. Comment live. Okie dokie. Lucy says, if caller Rachel is for real, then she is a dickhead, says Lucy. Pretty sure she's real. You hear a lot of them. Patrick says, mind-controlled numpties aplenty. It's a mass psychosis. He says, Red Green says, ha, the pub landlord was saying this on Saturday. Chris says, get vaccinated or lose the right to have a stroke. David Keane says something very unkind about Naga. I can't read that out. I can't. Tracy says, today, the home my mum is in, all staff have been jabbed, the home had to close doors to visitors as two staff were off with COVID. My mother isn't jabbed, and if we take her out for the day, when she returns, she will have to isolate. It is cruel to do this, and again, it's discriminating, because she isn't jabbed. Of course, we have been reminded that the vax is still available at the home. Imagine isolating someone with Alzheimer's, says Tracy. It's disgusting, Tracy. It is. Katie says, Richie, me and the hubby currently have the virus. It's been the weirdest thing. Like poisoning, she says. Anyway, we've suffered and recuperated at home and not been a stain or a strain on the NHS. How dare we, says Katie. Arthur says, a wide, isn't that something to do with cricket? It is, bowling a wide delivery. You're spot on. Bharat Pankania, a wide, a wide. Listen, there's a number of you quoting a website that I'm not going to mention because it's a fake news factory. And you believe, but I've got to tell you, you erroneously believe the 23.5 million people in the UK have not had a jab. That's not true. You see, what the clickbait truther industrial complex does is, it does silly little things like it includes amongst the unjabbed children between 0.1 years of age and 12. That age group hasn't been offered a jab yet, or offered the chance to decline it, or their parents haven't yet been offered the jab on behalf of the 1 to 12 year old kids. And the daft truthers, you see, they go and make a little bit of divilment with the figures to basically to get clickbait clicks so that you click on the website and you believe it. About 90% of all adults in the country have had at least one jab. Don't kid yourself thinking that there are 23.5 million people refusing to have a jab. That simply is not true. Stop engaging. No, I'm not going to tell you what to do. You do what you want. Read what you want. But please don't bring it to my website. Please don't. I'd greatly appreciate it if you took that one on board. Okay? Okay. It's 24.5 minutes past the hour. This is your Richie Allen radio show. Time for a tune. Yeah, the Blue Tones on the Richie Allen Radio Show. At the time, 28 minutes past the hour. Good to be with you. No Tom Renz just yet. He may be delayed a couple of minutes. That's okay. If that's the case, we'll wait for him. I think he'll be worth waiting for. He's an attorney at law that's involved in some very real cases in New Mexico, in Maine. Maine is where many of the Stephen King novels are set, of course. He's taking cases against the CDC, the President of the United States, Joe Biden, Anthony Fauci, who has advised the US government on what to do about COVID. And he's representing people, is Tom. And that might be him. In fact, it is him. Ah, there you go. I've left my bloody laptop on, haven't I? Let's get him on. Let's get him on and have a chat with him. Thomas Renz, welcome to the programme. How are you?
How you doing, sir?
Ah, you're a gentleman. I thought for a moment there we mightn't do it today. I thought he's probably up to his eyeballs in work and in briefs and in documents. But there you are. Tom, first of all, congratulations on, I think, having the cojones to stand up for what's right in this world and doing what it is you are doing, taking cases against the CDC, Biden, Fauci and the rest. How is that going? You must be worked off your feet at the moment.
That I am, and I apologize. I was trying to get going. I had a meeting that ran long, and it was actually really important related to this fight. Everything's related to the fight right now. And, yeah, I mean, 24/7, I didn't go to bed last night. I worked all night, and that's not abnormal. We just work. That's what we do because, you know, there's a lot of people dying and sick and, you know, having a horrible time with this. And so the least we can do is, you know, fight to make sure that they get a fair shake.
Fantastic. People, if you've not come across Tom Renz before, please go to the website Renz, that's R-E-N-Z, -law.com. Check it out, what he's doing on vaccine injuries, on mask mandates, on vaccine mandates. Tom, we'll come to vaccine mandates in a moment because things have changed rapidly in the last couple of weeks in your country. There was an injunction, wasn't there, which was good. It prevented companies from firing unvaccinated employees. But I know there's been a change again. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I'd like you to tell our listeners, I mean, this is one of the most important bits of evidence, I think, that we have today to show that the jabs have done and are doing great harm. Tell us about that Pfizer document that you shared earlier this year that acknowledged the most severe of harm to the recipients of that jab.
Well, yeah, so Pfizer, in the United States, Pfizer was forced to do what's called a post-vaccination or post-authorization adverse event study. And so this, in the United States, and it just covered the United States, but in the United States, that study ran from December 1st to February 28th. The reality is that the vaccine didn't actually get rolled out where it was available to people till mid-December, and then it kind of built up over time. So it really covered about 2.5 months, and it wasn't really all of 2.5 months. In that time, you know, the Pfizer document showed that there were 1,220-plus deaths from the jab in just that period of time and with that small number of people who were getting the jab. So, you know, that's and just with Pfizer. That doesn't count Moderna or Janssen. So they knew right away that there were 1,223 deaths. They knew that this was a dangerous, dangerous thing, and yet they continued on with this. They continued pushing. They continued trying to get people to do this. So, you know, there's no question that this has been done with knowledge. We know that they're covering this up.
Tom, can I jump in? Excuse me for the interruption. Can I jump in very briefly? Pfizer has been fined, along with many other pharmaceutical giants. It has been fined billions of dollars over the years for putting bad drugs on the market. When Pfizer knew that it was killing so many people, and your document is absolutely authentic, what you've put out there is 100% true. Why do you think, knowing that the consequences for them could be, well, horrendous, really, why didn't Pfizer immediately suspend the jab? Why didn't it stop it there?
Well, because there are no consequences. So, you know, all the different countries have different legal systems. In the U.S., we had passed laws indemnifying them, essentially saying that these people can't be sued unless we can prove that they did this maliciously. They've made all sorts of laws to essentially make these people immune. I mean, it doesn't matter that their product's killing people. You can't sue them. There's nothing you can do about it. So there's no accountability. All they do is make money, and there's no accountability for it. And, you know, the contracts that we've seen in a number of countries with, you know, between the countries and Pfizer have very much done the same thing. All these countries have sold out and said, we're just going to keep you guys, you know, there's no liability. We're not going to let anybody sue you. And they've done this all over the world. Pfizer is, to my mind, one of the most evil and corrupt countries on the planet, or companies. What they've done, you know, is to create something that they know is dangerous, they know it's killing people, and they've done it with impunity, and they've done it in a way that, it is just truly sick. And they've bought off these countries because they have so much money. They've been able to buy off countries, you know. But that's not a surprise. Look at the billions and billions of dollars that we've given Pfizer in the United States. You know, they've used that money to buy complicity in countries around the world. And these countries are now killing their populations with this dangerous jab and subjecting people to forced experimentation, which is what this is, because there are no long-term studies, with absolute impunity.
The document you have and that you released, I talked about it at the time. It's more than a smoking gun. It's explosive. It should have ended everything right there. But we're back to the old complaint, the old gripe, I suppose, Tom. It's the media, isn't it? Nobody in national or national commercial media wants to touch any of this or talk about any of this. If they did, it would be over in a heartbeat, wouldn't it?
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, you got to figure, I mean, you got the BBC as part of the Trusted News Initiative.
Yeah.
All the Trusted News Initiative, and the Trusted News Initiative is a real thing. It's out there. You can look it up. It's on the web. And it's collusion between the media companies to suppress certain information and to promote other. And it's between big tech and the media and different groups. And there's no question it's occurring. We know it's occurring. We know how serious it is. We know everything you need to know about it. They're absolutely doing that. Now, in the U.S., a lot of the media companies are earning 60% or more of their income from the drug companies. So, you know, the reality is that to call the media news when it comes to COVID is really, it's misbranding. It's not the correct label. They're not news.
It's the propaganda wing. Well, it's the propaganda wing of these companies and of this agenda. We've got the attorney Thomas Renz on the program. Go to renz-law.com. He's doing great work stateside taking on these people. Tom, I'll tell you this. Anthony Fauci is so much of a gangster, he's almost a caricature. Tell us about this recent news that exposes Fauci through an email leak, colluding with others to try and discredit the honest and decent scientists and doctors from the Great Barrington Declaration, men and women who, with their consciences, said this is terribly wrong, we shouldn't do this. And we've got Fauci bang to rights, as we say here in the UK, working to have these people discredited. Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, that's exactly what it is, right? I mean, you have this monster of a human being who has a lot of influence globally. I mean, he sits on the Gates Foundation vaccine board, you know, is the highest paid government official in the United States. I mean, he's got he controls an immense budget, and he's used his power and influence to you know, promote himself and his interests. I mean, it's 100% corruption. You know, this is, I think you got to look at the situation and ask yourself, you know, you've got a whole slew of doctors and medical professionals and scientists that are speaking out, and they're saying the same thing. This isn't what it appears. It's not safe. It's not effective. It's a dangerous thing. When they do that, they're persecuted in the media. They may lose their jobs. They certainly aren't getting paid to do so. And they're essentially sacrificing in every way, shape, and form to do this. On the other side, you've got Anthony Fauci and his cronies who are literally making billions of dollars selling out, you know, and watching people die. So the question you have to ask yourself is, do you trust the guy who's making billions of dollars and getting media accolades? Or do you trust the doctors who are getting persecuted for trying to get the truth out?
You know, it's a question that plagues us. Living here in the UK, I chat with neighbours and people I bump into. They just are—they're just not exposed to this. You see, Tom, if they've come across yourself or Peter McCulloch or Dolores Cahill, you know they're lucky. But by and large, they're getting their information from the mainstream media, so they won't have heard of people that we know, people like Martin Kulldor from Harvard University and others who I've interviewed on this program. And that's a real tragedy, as far as the average man and woman is concerned. There's only one side to this. COVID is deadly and we need to take the most extreme measures. And I suppose all we can do in the independent media, and what you're doing is amazing, is just keep plugging away and hoping that eventually we'll chip away enough cracks in the dam. Fauci is a monster. It's extraordinary what Fauci's been gotten, what he's been up to. How significant is this gain of function research, these allegations made against Fauci? I understand that RFK's book on Fauci is a must read. I haven't read it yet, but Fauci is far more dirty even than some of his critics really understand. How important is that? Is that a line of inquiry, Tom, that you're pursuing, that Fauci might have had something to do with COVID to begin with?
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, we've got a lot of evidence on that. You know, the bottom, we know that this was a plandemic. We know that it was, you know, I mean, it's almost, I can't say it's 100% conclusive, but it's probably 99% conclusive that this was made in a lab. It was probably released intentionally. And, you know, they had, they created the disease and had the cure. I mean, it's just that simple. Now, one of the things that I want everyone to be aware of is Omicron. And Omicron's a really important thing here because Omicron marks a shift. If y'all remember, and this has been in the global news, but when they first found Omicron, they talked about the mutations and how this dangerous new mutant disease was coming and it might affect kids. And it you know, has all these unusual manifestations and it's just a horrible thing. It's gonna kill us all, right? So if you go back to June, I was talking about something that I called the vaccine variant. And I said the vaccine variant is going to be some new terrible vaccine or some new terrible variant that'll come out this fall that they're claiming is killing everybody. And that is, you know, the worst thing ever. And we've got a lockdown and this, that, and other. And I said that, you know, the reality is this is really AED. This is a disease caused by the vaccine. This variant is caused by the vaccine, and that's the problem, is it's the vaccine. And that's what we're seeing. This is occurring in the vaccinated primarily, and it's causing problems there. The unvaccinated are doing just fine. And, you know, interestingly enough, yeah, they put all this about these unusual manifestations. Well, that came out at the same time that they authorized this in children in the United States. So they needed cover for what was going to happen with these kids dying, right? So they started talking about Omicron. Well, if you look at the Pfizer document that I pushed out there, what it says on, I want to say page 11, but I might have the page wrong. It says that VAED, which is vaccine-associated enhanced disease, may present as severe or as a severe or unusual clinical manifestation of COVID-19. Well, that's exactly what we said. You get the jab, you're going to have these issues. Well, you know, they had to have something new come out that was different so that they could justify why kids were dying in the United States. And, you know, so that's what Omicron really is. And that's what it is everywhere. I mean, you know, the reality is that it's just really not a big deal, but they need something terrible and terrifying that they can scare people into believing is the reason that children are dying. So
we're about to,
that's where that is.
We're, this country, Tom, you are probably aware, is about to, any time now, is about to announce that the jab will be offered to 5 to 12 year olds. It's already being offered to 12 year olds and above. It's, to me, it's unimaginably evil. I can't get my head around it, what's happening, and it's happening so quickly. On the Omicron thing, it's funny, the woman credited with discovering this, Dr. Angelique Coetzee in South Africa, she's telling anyone who will listen that the variant is pretty much harmless. It's no more than a little dose of the sniffles or a cold, and yet nobody is listening to her. Even if you're right, and you might well be right, that it might be a vaccine-induced variant. But she's saying, look, don't worry about it, it's no big deal. And yet Europe, I'm sure you're aware, Tom, Europe, Germany, Austria, obviously Spain, rushing to lockdown again, civil liberties being mm-hmm. torn up. It's crazy here.
Well, you have to understand something, right? So the fact that there's a variant out there is, I mean, that's irrelevant. You know, diseases vary all the time. I mean, they evolve very, very quickly. Viruses evolve very quickly. They're tiny. They're short-lived. So their evolutionary cycle is very, very fast. So, you know, finding a variant is not a big deal. And the fact that she found a variant is not a big deal. What you have to understand is that the variant isn't actually the issue here, right? There is probably, there's probably a million variants out there that are slightly different and really don't have much impact, as this good doctor is talking about. But you got to understand, when they talk about Omicron, the thing that's killing us all, it's not a real thing. It's not a legitimate thing. What they're talking about is this is media. This is them trying to create a straw man. It's this Omicron variant that's doing it. Well, it's not the Omicron variant. What they're going to try and do is assign the side effects from the vaccine to Omicron. And so you got to understand, is Omicron a variant? Maybe. I mean, there's no real good way to test other than to do a full genetic sequence, which to my knowledge hasn't occurred. But the reality is that variants to viruses occur all the time. That's no big deal.
And you know what, Tom? Sorry to interrupt you. And I've looked into this as well in the last 2 years. Without a single exception, the viruses evolve downwards. They become less virulent as they evolve all the time, which you've already said. And great point, by the way, about accurate testing for variants. I believe that the Queen guitar player, Brian May, is asking that question. He even asked his doctor. It was announced here earlier in the week or last week that Brian May has COVID. And apparently he asked his doctor, how do you know if it's the Omicron variant or the Delta variant? And his doctor couldn't answer him. It's just one massive pack of lies, this, isn't it? It's like a dodgy, shaky house of cards, Tom. It should be so easy to topple over this narrative, shouldn't it?
Well, I mean, listen, it's
pathetic.
It's not that it's hard to topple. It's that most people won't look. And with the media and the propaganda arm of Big Pharma running around there covering this up, you know, it's just people aren't hearing the truth. But I want to, you know, take a second and say, listen, please, especially to you, my friends in Europe, please take this show. If you're listening to this, that's great. But if you don't share it, it doesn't do anything. You need to take this show, take this information, share this show with everybody. This guy's got the courage to fight. He's out here fighting for you guys. He's out here telling the truth. And I'm sure at great personal expense, because I can tell you the tax that I take. So share this show and help get the word out. Share rens-law.com. I have an immense amount of information there. But you got to share this information. The only way that we get free is for we the people to stand and say enough of this tyranny.
Yeah.
And that's only going to happen when we start educating people, and they're trying to stop us. So we've got to do it ourselves.
I won't keep you much longer, Tom, because I know you're really busy. Thanks for saying that. You're absolutely right. On that note, of course it comes with consequences for you, for a respected attorney. Of course, you've got to worry about losing business because of, you know, well, cancel culture is everywhere. Oh, that law firm, that's the crazy conspiracy theory law firm, they're backing the anti-vaxxers. You've got to put up with all of that as well. So it does take a lot of courage. Tom, can I ask you, in the couple of minutes we have left, what's the end game for these people, do you think? Is it just about money, or is there something else happening here?
Well, I mean, there's power, there's control. I mean, you got to understand that these people are hell-bent on controlling the world. And, you know, at some point, you know, there's only so much money to be had. This is about control. I mean, this is about ensuring that people are lined up and doing what they need to do. Freedom is the enemy of tyranny, and you know, these people are tyrants. I don't know how else to say it. Why does someone need to tell you that you have to wear a mask? They don't work. Why does someone need to tell you that you have to take a vaccine that we now know doesn't stop the spread of this disease? So, you know, that's where we are. You know, that is exactly where we are. It doesn't stop the spread, but yet everybody's got to take it.
Yeah.
It doesn't keep you safe, but you still need it. Why? It's none of your business what I do. And if the vaccine did work, why do I need to take it? You take it. If I want to die from whatever terrible disease I want to die from, that's my business. You go take your vaccine and be safe. You let me do my thing.
Final question for you, a quick one. It's not negative now. It's just one I have to ask. You're putting thousands of man hours and woman hours, I'm sure you have, your staff, into your efforts to advocate for people that they don't get fired because they won't have a dangerous medicine. And you're to be applauded for that, and I mean it. Do you trust the judiciary? Do you trust the legal system, Tom, and that it hasn't been compromised?
Well, I do think that, you know, judges are people, and they've been lied to for 2 years just like everyone else. So that's a real obstacle. But we've got a plan on that, and I think we're going to, you know, we're working through it. You know, I don't know. We'll find out. Ultimately, you know, we'll see where it ends up in the judiciary. But I spend a ton of time trying to educate people, because if the people stand up, it doesn't matter. The people will win. Remember, your government only governs with your consent. If the people say no, well, then the people will be able to do what they want to do. And that's the number one thing that I want to do, is I want people to understand that they are empowered to take a stand. And they have to take a stand. And if you don't stand for freedom, it will be gone. You know, it's time for we, the free people of this world, to take a stand and to do what's right. And we don't have a whole lot of time left before we don't have an option.
Folks, please go to rens-law.com or rens-law.com. Check out Tom Renz, Thomas Renz, doing terrific work advocating for people who are under the jackboot here in his own country. Thomas, thanks so much for your time today. God bless and Godspeed in your endeavors.
Well, you too. And you know what? I look forward to us winning this, and I cannot wait to come over and sit in a pub and have some ale with some good people.
I'm buying the Guinness, Tom.
Like-minded.
I'm buying the Guinness. If you get on a plane and you come over here, I'm buying the first Guinness. It's on me.
I tell you what, I can't wait to do it. I am so looking forward to it, and we will win this. So God bless. Stand strong.
Thanks, Tom. You've just been listening to Tom Renz, rens-law.com. Not just his law firm, but others have hundreds and hundreds of cases of people. They're working on behalf of people who face losing their jobs because of the vaccine mandates in his country. The time is exactly 8 minutes to the top of the hour. It's Monday's Richie Allen Show. It's the 20th of December 2021. Lots of comments. I'm going to read them now in a second. Keep them coming in through richieallen.co.uk. On the menu bar it says comment live. It couldn't be more straightforward than that.
The Richie Allen Show features doctors, scientists, academics, and researchers who have been banned by the legacy media. Support Richie now by making a financial contribution at richieallen.co.uk.
Are you a company based in the northwest of England who want to improve their profile via social media?
Yes!
Well, you could go out in the car park and film something on your phone, but it's not very good, is it?
No!
Sounds terrible,
yes!
The picture's not that great.
Yes!
Try Ensign Films. We're a new video production company based in the heart of Manchester. We're really old. We've had loads of experience and we can work within your budget. Don't go out in the car park with Debbie from accounts. Seriously, ensignfilms.co.uk.
It's the BBG, not the BBC.
Tis myself. Welcome back to the programme. Now, Stacey Rudin will join me shortly. You don't want to miss her. In about 15 minutes' time, I'm going to read some comments because I said I would. It is Christmas week. No Christmas tunes today. I will have one or two tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. Let me remind you that on Thursday, there will be no monologue. There will be no news. Roundup. No, none of that. I'm going to open Skype and the telephone immediately on Thursday. And we're going to have a chat. And it doesn't have to be about this. We can reminisce about Christmases of yore. Hang on. It's a bloody thing. Weeks and weeks I've had this throat. It is not a tumour. It is not. It's not cancer. Had the bloods done. Went private. Had to do all of that. Anyway. It's just a bloody infection. It's 5G. That's what it is. Anne says, that is Anne Bywater, Twitter doesn't let me share anything. It tells me they think I'm a robot and to try later. Yeah, I think what Tom meant was as much as you can, really, to physically share things with people. It's pretty straightforward these days. We've all got these phones that do wonderful things. It's pretty straightforward to get a snatch of a programme. Like to get a 15-minute segment of a programme, you might have Dolores Cahill on this programme. You might have another scientist on another programme who are telling the truth. It's pretty easy to just edit out a little bit of a clip and maybe send it via email to your friend. Or maybe play it for your friend. Maybe play it for a friend. I don't know. Yeah, it's not easy, is it? Nelly says, I'm 63, Richie. I rent my home. I work for Sainsbury's. Could have done better in life, says Nelly, but I'm not going into that. I will never have the job. I feel that Sainsbury's will enforce it. I will be out of a job. I may well lose my rented accommodation. If that happens, I'll end up on the street, says Nelly, rather than have their poison in my arm and give in to tyranny. Never. I will defy these bastards until the end of my life here, says Nelly. Absolutely. Amen. There isn't anything. I've worked this over and over in my head. Nothing could make me take one of the jabs. Nothing. There isn't anything they could do to me that would compel me to say, okay, I give in, I'll do it. Nothing. And that might come to the test, not just for me, but for you as well. And if so, we'll see. Listen, a number of you are silly enough to keep sending me an image and telling me that the information on the image is contained on the UK Health Security Agency website. But you see, the image that you're sending me was actually created by a Truther website. The image that you're sending me is nowhere to be seen on the UK Health Security Agency website. About 90% of all adults in the country have had at least one jab. There may be several million children who haven't had a jab. I'm well aware of that. The 0 to 12-year-olds haven't yet been offered it. And I'm, as far as I understand, quite a lot of 12 to 15-year-olds, or let's say 12 to 18-year-olds, haven't had it either. I'm well aware of it. But there's that, the fact that millions of children haven't had it, and then there are truthers who like mixing up figures and drawing conclusions that are not true and insinuating that over 20 million people have refused the jab. That's bollocks. That's not true. That isn't true. You have to understand that. And stop falling for clickbait truther websites. Just stop doing it. I said on Sunday Morning Melodies I would refrain from telling you what to do because I don't tell anyone what to do. But it's getting boring now. It's 5 to midnight. Do you understand that? You know, this is real, this. What's happening and what is going to happen. And sharing around truth or website diagrams that are not accurate and that are slanting the data to draw a conclusion that isn't actually real. That's the essence of the truth or industrial complex. And you click on it like a moron and they get lots and lots of clicks and lots of attention. It doesn't go anywhere. The relevant fact when it comes to the take-up of the vaccines is that 9 in 10 people of adult age in the country have consented and have had at least one of them. That's a fact. And it's not great, but it's a fact. It's about 6 million people that have refused a jab. That doesn't mean that it's only 6 million that are unjabbed. Of course it doesn't. But it's around 6 million who have said no definitively. Those are the real figures. What will happen with the children, with those secondary school age children who haven't yet had it because they don't want it or because their parents don't want it? What will happen with them remains to be seen. Will they be persuaded? Will they not? Please God, they won't be. What will happen when they roll it out to the 5 to 12 year olds? I like to think that many parents will say, no way, Jose. Not on my watch. Sadly, many parents will take their children to a jabbatoire and present them to be jabbed. That's what I think. But yeah, 90% or thereabouts of all adults who have been offered it have had at least one of them. Not great, but it's true. And that's the way it is. Like it or lump it. Try and avoid the truthers. No good comes from relying on truthers and their dodgy websites and their fake news stories. You know, think for yourself. Think for yourself is what I would say. Drive past a jabbatoire. They are rammed. The ones in Salford, I checked them again this morning, rammed. Rammed. In a big city in the northwest of England, rammed. Cars clogging up but blocking up roads. Car parks full. Cars parallel parking on the sides of roads. There's no great awakening in the country when it comes to the jabs. There isn't. Not yet there's not. Don't kid yourself that there is. Don't kid yourself that 25 million people have said no to the jabs. That's garbage. And the thing that annoys me most is you know it's garbage. But you share it anyway. I don't mean you. I mean that idiot on the website who's doing it. It's 6:01. You're with the Richie Allen Show. It's live, as always, from BBG Towers here in Salford. Here's the Cardigans. Why not some Cardigans? That is Love Fool from the Cardigans on the Richie Allen Show. The Telegraph. TheTelegraph.co.uk, the website for the broadsheet newspaper, is reporting that Boris Johnson has spoken very, very recently, in the last hour, in fact, in Downing Street, or from Downing Street, saying that he, quotes, the government, quote, reserves the possibility, end quote, to implement further COVID restrictions due to the surge in Omicron cases. He warned, did Johnson, that the current situation is, quote, extremely difficult, end quote. We will have to reserve the possibility of taking further action to protect the public and to protect the NHS. He said, we won't hesitate to take that action. He was asked, was Johnson, about the types of restrictions that could be re-implemented, but he wouldn't be drawn on that. He said, quote, "We are looking at all kinds of things to keep Omicron under control and we will rule nothing out," end quote. He met with his cabinet today. It was reported earlier today that at least 10 cabinet ministers, at least 10, reports not confirmed, of course, but reports the 10 would walk away, would resign in the event that Johnson announced further restrictions ahead of Christmas. We'll have to wait and see, but that's just bollocks by me, because we know that further restrictions or the announcement of them is inevitable. It is as inevitable as death and taxes. It's a guarantee. And what will hospitality do? It'll do squat. They will go on television and complain about the detrimental effects of lockdown on their businesses, on their prospects, and on the lives and livelihoods of their families. They will bemoan what it will do to their staff, but ultimately they will obey. And that is the problem. They will obey. Obey. That's the thing, isn't it? We go back to Simon Dolan early last year, the entrepreneur. Nice fella, Simon. I think he was very nice and very forthcoming when he appeared on this programme. He tried to take the legal route to prevent this happening. And he told me on many an occasion that he couldn't believe how businesses were complicit in their own demise. Why will they obey? Why are Welsh pubs and clubs accepting that from St. Stephen's Day, December 26th, next Sunday, Boxing Day, why are they so accepting of the fact that they will have to close nightclubs in Wales? Nightclubs, excuse me. You can't open on New Year's Eve. I DJed in nightclubs, great and small, over the years on New Year's Eve. I know what New Year's Eve takings mean for nightclubs. What will they do in Wales? The nightclubs will close and they will beg for relief funds from the government. Money, if they do get it, they'll have to pay back. In Ireland, hospitality has been told you must shut your doors at 8 o'clock. In Ireland. Can you believe it? What does the Fighting Irish do? Nothing. Beg for some financial relief. Do they get together and say, well, fuck these tyrants and the horses they rode in on? No, they don't. They will be closing their businesses at 8 o'clock in Ireland this evening. It's astonishing. But it's true. It's happening. Here's the Bare Naked Ladies. The Bare Naked Ladies, and 1 week on at the Richie Allen Show, 11 minutes past six, drive time. This Monday evening in Salford, the northwest of the UK. Thanks for all your messages. Can I just get one thing straight before I welcome Stacey back to the programme? I am not saying that only 6 million people in the UK remain unjabbed. I am not saying that. Please listen. I'm saying that, as far as we understand, 6 million adults have said no, thank you, have said no. I am not saying that only 6 million people in the UK have yet to have a single jab. I'm not saying that. But there are others who haven't had it, but it's not because they have refused it. So it's not the great news that some independent media content creators are claiming it is. It isn't. Those statistics, they are being manipulated, and there's a bit of clickbait going on. That's all I'm saying. So just be a bit careful with that. The less people who have taken the jab, the better, obviously. But those statistics are being manipulated by some for clicks and for likes. Just be a bit careful with it, is all I am saying. Take everything with a pinch of salt, including everything that comes out of my big gob. I should add to that. Do you know, it's been about a year since my next guest was on the programme. I genuinely meant to extend an invitation back far earlier than now, because she was excellent. She is a writer. She is an activist, a volunteer, and a former litigator. You will find her on Medium, but I recommend strongly that you read her on brownstone.org. That's brownstone.org. It's a warm welcome back to the programme to Stacey Rudin. Stacey, welcome back. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Richie.
It's great to have you back. I was listening back to a bit of our chat from late last year, and you said something then that, boy, you were spot on. You said that the problem with compliance is that every step forward these people take in terms of, you know, ripping up what we understand as our civil liberties, there's no backward step. Once they take a step, it's permanent. And you were right then. Do you still believe that? The further this goes, the more difficult it's going to be for us to roll back on it.
Yeah, I think the only way we escape is by non-compliance. And unfortunately, a lot of people are ending up getting the vaccine just for convenience. They want to go to restaurants, they want to travel, and they end up, you know, some of them will get even fake. I think fake documentation is still compliance. You're still participating in the system. So they either get the vaccine legitimately or they get fake proof and they go eat in restaurants. They're patronizing the businesses that are asking for the passes. And that's how they get this in place gradually. If no one went out to eat, no one traveled, they'd have a problem. But that's not really happening.
No, it isn't. There was a concert in the Manchester Arena 2 weeks ago, a band called Madness. You'll know Madness, a ska band. And it's a great band to go and see. And we've seen them a couple of times over the years. And you know, Stacey, not having been to a concert for 2 years, I thought I'd love to be there. But of course, you needed to take a lateral flow test to prove you were healthy in order to go. So, of course, I didn't do that. Because, as you just intimated there, that's a form of compliance. And I thought, how dreadful. And you said something else too, which I wholeheartedly agree with. They are getting the jabs now for coercion. I don't believe that those who are rushing to get boosted, I don't believe it's because they are scared of a virus. I believe it's because they have resigned to themselves, or they have resigned themselves to a reality where they'll be rewarded if they just do what they're told. That's
terrible.
Yeah,
they definitely are not scared of the virus. I know a lot of people who just do it because everyone else they know is doing it. They probably can't move. Like we have listed our house. We're going to move to a state where less of this is happening. But not everybody has that ability. Their family's there. Their job maybe is in that location, can't be easily moved. They can't work remote like my husband can. So they just are resigned to it. Exactly. They aren't willing to go inside their house and just never leave, which is what they're trying to put in place for those of us who don't comply.
How difficult a decision was that for you and your other half to up sticks and move? That's serious stuff, Stacey. That can't come easy.
I mean, it's terrible. We're really devastated that our lives have been so ripped apart by this. We ended up having to put our kids in a private school 40 minutes from our house because the public schools were closed. That was 2 years ago. Fortunately, we could afford the private school. A lot of people can't. And we've been doing that commute 40 minutes each way, twice a day, for 2 years. And the kids' social connections are down by their school. And now the kids are starting to be teased because they're not vaccinated. Because New Jersey is all, you know, really in this vaccine. Everybody's got to have it. It's like getting a new pair of cool jeans or something. It's not like a medical treatment anymore. It's like to be accepted, you have to do it. So we just feel pretty much pushed out. They don't want anyone who disagrees with this around, and they're making us feel that. And so we have to go restart our lives somewhere else. And no, it's very difficult. We had bought our dream house. We thought we'd be there till the kids graduated from school, and they're only 10 and 9, and now we got to leave.
I'm genuinely sorry to hear that, genuinely. A friend of mine in Ireland, you could say a retired journalist, and a very successful actress at one time, Jean-Anne Crowley. Jean-Anne told me this afternoon, Stacey, that she met a couple in Ireland, or a gentleman in Ireland, who was so sick of it, he's going to Paraguay, would you believe?
Yeah, there are some pockets like, you know, Paraguay, Panama, Tanzania, you know, there's some countries and states that are doing less of it. But my fear is that it's just going to creep everywhere because it's taken on so strong in the very blue United States. In the UK, it's obviously taking on Austria, Australia, Canada. And I hope it's not inevitable that it's coming everywhere. But we do need people to get to this breaking point where they're willing to actually make sacrifices to stop it. And I don't know if they're just not envisioning the future and what it could hold if we all carry these electronic passes that, you know, will bar us from any number of things. My imagination can go all over the place on that. And I don't think these people have, you know, good things in mind for us. They want control and power, and they'd care about themselves, not about us. So I wish more people would dig deep and think about it, but I guess they're busy living their lives and aren't feeling it as strongly as some others.
Yeah, I go along with that. Stacey is on Twitter, by the way, thousands and thousands of followers there. Find her at Stacey with an E, so it's Stacey underscore Rudin, R-U-D-I-N, former litigator. Great to have your legal mind, Stacey, looking at this. Just before you came on, Tom Wren's attorney at law was on with us, and he's hoping to take cases. You know, Tom. I asked Tom this question. I'll ask you the same question. And I wasn't trying to be negative or to, you know, let the air out of his balloon. But can we trust the judiciary? Can we trust the legal system?
You know, that's been one of the hardest things for me throughout this past 2 years, because I really did. I was an attorney, and I remember being a young, you know, just graduated from law school attorney, walking into the federal courthouse and this imposing building with the stone carving that says equal justice under law. And you can feel that like an emotion. I really believed that, you know, this institution existed to protect Americans. Every single person would get a trial, and a fair trial, and would be heard before, you know, any bad actions are taken towards them. And that's gone in my mind. I mean, they've taken away our right to defend ourselves. Like they tell me I'm sick. I'm not sick. I haven't been sick in a decade. You know, I work very hard on my health. I haven't ever needed a flu vaccine yet. I've never gotten the flu. You know, I could describe all my health practices. My kids have brought stuff home. I still don't get it. I would go spend time in a COVID ward with no mask on and, you know, have that videotaped and prove that I can't get it. But I'm not allowed to do that. I'm just presumably sick unless I take this pharma injection plus a second one plus a booster. I think they're almost to the fourth one now. And then I got to carry documentation of that to prove I'm not sickly to go eat in New York City, which is right by my house. And that's, you know, it's not justice at all. There's no hearing. You're just presumably sick forever. And that's the paradigm they want. And I just can't live with that.
You since you were on last, we heard that extraordinary press conference from Bill de Blasio. I've never in my life heard anything like it. And doing this type of show for years, when I left commercial radio, and I did that because I couldn't speak about things that I wanted to speak about. I wanted to interview the conspiracy theorists back in the day, you know, the men and women who were saying and writing that we were rushing kind of headlong into a dystopian society where medicines would be mandated and stuff like that. Many of these men and women were laughed at. But I found them articulate, and I found them engaging and warm. Yeah, there were a few lunatics in there. There were a few Jew haters and a few mad men and women. But generally, you know, people like Jim Mars, God rest him, and others, David Icke, were pretty lucid and engaging. And here we are now. But I was still, we say, gobsmacked here when I tuned into that conference where de Blasio said, if you want to participate in society, you'll have this jab. When you heard that, Stacey, it must have blown your mind. You must have thought for a minute, I must be dreaming this. I can't be hearing it.
I thought there were enough good people. Well, I don't know if I should use the word good, but I thought there were enough people who cared about individual choice and sovereignty over individuals' bodies that wouldn't be accepted. But shockingly, people are just doing it and acting like they, for one thing, they don't want to talk about it. When I make people talk about it, they get very uncomfortable. So they really just don't, they want to pretend it's not happening. and just keep on with the convenience and comfort of their life. Just, I guess it doesn't bother them to take, to put this stuff in their bodies that they don't really know what's in it and that they're going to do it forever. And they must be blocking that out in some sense, because to me, once someone gets to decide what goes into my body and I no longer get to overrule that, that's pretty much the end of just, I mean, it's just the end of almost everything. Like, that's your sovereignty over that tiny piece of the world that's your own body is all you have. And they're trying to take that away. So I just, I'll fight it as long as I can. I've been open about my opposition from the first day. I've done podcasts. I've written. I've done it all for free. I have never taken a penny. And I've tried to put out how I feel. I get in my friends' faces about it. They hate that. I've done everything I can. And then now I'll move. But the concern is, if someone like de Blasio is willing to say that in the national media, he doesn't get burned alive for it. In fact, the system just gets into place. It's already in place in New York City. And then is that going to creep to Kentucky? Is that going to creep everywhere eventually? That's the fear. Or is there going to be enough people who just refuse that it will not work? Do you think it's going to take on everywhere?
Yeah, I think you're very honest in saying that. You're going to move, you and your family, your husband and your family, but you are acutely aware that somewhere down the line, the new home might become like New York. You're not stupid, Stacey. You're obviously very bright. You've demonstrated that through your writings and through the podcasts you've done. So yeah, I do sadly think that. It's like my partner, she's French. It's just crazy in France now. You know, France is going down the Austria road. It's not said mandating the jabs yet, but it's doing everything it can, the French government and the local authorities around the country, to make life exceedingly miserable for people who've said no to it. And that's terrible for my partner Caroline. You know, she'd love to have gone home to spend. She used to go back to France every December for a week to be with her family, and that's a marvellous thing for her. Not last year, not this year. She can't go to France. France won't let her in unless she's jabbed. They will allow French nationals to go there. They've barred everybody else in the UK. If you're a UK citizen, you cannot go to France unless you can demonstrate a compelling reason. If you are French, they will let you in, but you've got to be double jabbed at least. My better half, she won't touch the jabs for obvious reasons. And she's obviously concerned about the fact that she might not see her family again. It's no joke, this stuff. It's crazy stuff. It's we get hammered by the media when we compare it to Germany, you know. But I've got Jewish friends. I've got Jewish friends in Manchester and Jewish business people I know, and they say, Richie, the comparison stands up. It stands up to Nazi Germany.
I agree. I listened recently to a Holocaust survivor giving a speech, you know, years ago, not a recent one. And he said it started with the park benches that said no Jews can sit here. And people were like, well, there's other benches, you know, they can go over there. It's not urgent. And then it was Jews can't go to the swimming pool. Yeah. Well, there's a swimming pool across town. They can go to that one. And then pretty soon it's, well, Jews can't operate a business in this district. Well, they can go to the next district and rent something else. And it's, nobody would have envisioned at that point that eventually they're going to be burned in ovens. I don't think at the park bench stage, that wasn't envisioned how bad it could get. So I find it terrifying that now we're just like, okay, it's fine that Stacey and her family can't go to restaurants or Broadway shows. You know, they're choosing that they, you know, it's okay. And then pretty soon it's in my state. Well, now we have to leave the state. Well, you know, like, I guess she's just not willing to do that. So she, you know, so it's just, it's not a world. I can't believe people don't see this as a big philosophical. It's a big philosophical point. You can't have a world where people who disagree with the establishment and for what kind of medical treatment they want can be just marginalized and excluded. And that's the beginning of something that could go very wrong. It's a slippery slope. And I'm not saying it'll get there. We don't know that. But I would like to point out that I don't think the Germans in 1930 thought it would get where it did get either.
Loads of comments coming into my website. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show. It's 27 minutes past the hour. It's 27 minutes past six here in the UK. We've got Stacey Rudin on the line, litigator, former attorney, writer, author.
this is poignant stuff. This Stacey's been telling us that she's uprooting herself and her family to get away from the New York area, from the New Jersey area, because of what's happening there, because it's creeping tyranny, it's getting worse, and moving somewhere else where, for the moment, it's a bit better. Here's a very interesting point from Craig. He says, I could be wrong, but the way I see it, the population has been conditioned to recognise a tyrant only through specific language, the wearing of military uniforms and the use of guns and tanks. None of that has yet been presented to them, so maybe this is why they continue to fail to notice it. That's a good point, Stacey.
It's a very good point. And anyone can recognize someone like Hitler, I suppose. He's out there doing salutes and drawing huge crowds and speaking directly against certain people. But that actually, it is happening. It's just happening through the TV. And Biden was just on TV saying it's going to be such a tough winter for the unvaccinated. So he's identified a group, he's marginalized the group, he's blaming them for bad outcomes, and he's encouraging the other group to target them for discrimination. And then the discrimination is actively happening. I can't drive to Manhattan 16 miles from my house and have a meal in a restaurant anymore. I know people who live in Manhattan who are stuck in their apartments now and can't participate in life. They can go into a store still, but they can't go, say it was cold out, it's the middle of the winter, they're out, they need to warm up. They can't go in and have a coffee and an appetizer at a restaurant. They got to walk all the way home or whatever. So, I mean, it's getting bad, and it's right in my neighborhood.
It's on your doorstep now.
Yeah.
It's on your doorstep. My worst case scenario, and I hate the fear porn merchants. I've never liked them. I hate people who sell fear. What I like to do on this programme is to talk to, you know, learned folks like yourself who have opinions and have a chat about it and see where we're going. So what I'm going to say, I suppose, might sound a bit like fear porn, but it isn't. It's what I genuinely feel will happen. I think maybe not next year, probably not next year, and maybe not even 2023. But I think maybe beyond that, I think as they kind of introduce the concept of taking regular inoculations, not just against COVID, but about other things, as a way of preserving public health. Because you see, we've seen that in the UK, Stacey. We've read documents over the years that said that governments wanted to move away from a treatment-based health service, where traditionally we would fall ill, we would phone the doctor and say, can I come and see you? And he or she would say, yes, I'll book you in on Friday. We would go there, tell the doctor how we feel, and he or she would say, okay, you need to do this or you need to do that. They've admitted for years they want to move away from that. They want to move towards a more preventative form of medicine, where the public is encouraged to do things to prevent themselves from becoming ill, which sounds very, you know, benign and sounds very nice and sensible. But I never thought it was benign, and I never thought it was nice and cuddly and, you know, and warm. I always thought it as something that could become tyrannical, like that if you're found not to be taking measures to preserve your health, that there might be consequences for you down the line. You know,
right.
I walk around my park, Stacey. I'm going to shut up in a second and let you come back in for as long as you want. But I walk around my park, and God, I'm going to be called bigoted now for what I'm about to say, but I don't have a bigoted bone in my body. I swear on it. You know, I see a couple of elderly Chinese people walking around the park in the mornings, really early, frantically walking around the park. And I always say hello to them. They're lovely. They wave back. I've got a couple of dogs. They like the dogs. So how you doing? Lovely. And on they move. But I'm always mindful of how much of that, you know, has been drilled into them from where they come from. And I look at the future where we'll be encouraged to take vaccinations for everything and anything. Like diabetes. Well, I'm not diabetic. Take a vaccine anyway. Take a vaccine for obesity. Take a vaccine for Alzheimer's or whatever. And not taking them might very well have serious consequences. Now, that would have sounded crazy 10 or 15 years ago. But today, to me, that sounds pretty logical. What do you think?
Well, I have a lot to say on that subject. I'm more of a natural health person. I like to find the cause of the symptoms I'm having and try to address that rather than slapping a Band-Aid on the symptom. And they can't make any money off of me because I know how to stay healthy using things like good diet, exercise, meditation, sleep. I understand the holistic health. They don't make any money off of me. And what you're talking about is how they're giving vaccines. They'll say it's as a preventative, but what you're really saying, what they're really saying, is we're going to give stuff to healthy people, claiming that our product is what's going to prevent them from getting ill.
Yeah.
When really they can prevent themselves from getting ill with no products purchased from the establishment. And really everything that they've done in the US, at least developing these vaccines, the taxpayers have paid for that. And then they're being mandated on the taxpayers, who, even the ones who don't want it. The pharmaceutical companies don't have any liability risk. They administer to everyone. They keep the profits. And then if anyone's injured, it goes to the vaccine court, which is taxpayer funded. So it's the perfect profit scheme. And you can see these companies are kind of, in a way, partnering with the government in these public-private partnerships. You hear that talked about more and more. It's one of those sustainable development concepts. So it's like just like an extra way to fleece the taxpayers for it's an extra tax. And people, it's really sad because it's making people sicker and they're not educating them on how to actually be well. And in fact, the way to be well is pretty much doing the opposite of what the government, the establishment is saying, because they make money when you're sick. They don't make any money when you're well. So eat the processed food, eat the garbage, sit in front of the screen, you know, take in the tech, have a virtual reality instead of a physical reality. You know, they worry about carbon. So just stay home and get on WhatsApp. Don't take any trips. And then, you know, you get sick, you get fat. We'll just give you a vaccine or a pill for that. And it's perfect for them. And it's terrible for people.
Stacey Rudin is our guest. We've got Stacey for another 10 to 15 minutes. It's flying by the time. Thanks for your comments on the website, richieallen.co.uk. On the menu bar, live comment. That's where you need to go. You'll find Stacey on Twitter. It's at Stacey_Rudin. And you can read her at brownstone.org. Really important stuff, this. It's nice to be able to talk about these things while we're still allowed to, Stacey. That's another one. I don't know if you're aware of something called the Online Harms Bill in the UK going through Parliament. Are you aware of that?
I've heard. I haven't read it in detail, but this kind of thing is happening in the US and everywhere. It's really scary.
I'm going to scare the bejesus out of you. One of the tenets, I suppose, of this Online Harms Bill, one of the clauses or whatever, is they want to punish people who knowingly spread misinformation, particularly about medicines. They want to punish them with up to 2 years in prison. And I know this to be true because there are a number of journalists, good journalists, who I can't name, but they're academics. They work in universities here in the UK. They were briefly consulted about their opinions on such a bill. And to their credit, they basically said they wouldn't have anything to do with it. It's tyranny. It's absolute tyranny. But I've been in touch with one of them who's a well-known journalism tutor. And he said to me, Richie, the clause, when they talk about punishing people with prison time for knowingly spreading misinformation that might cause harm by putting out stuff about vaccines that might encourage someone not to take the vaccine and then that person might become ill because they didn't take it, that could be punishable by 2 years. My contact said to me, and I know he's telling the truth, he said that is about destroying the independent media in the UK, preventing people. There are thankfully plenty of programmes in this country, independent programmes still, where people are having conversations like the one we're having now, Stacey, but they want to end that as quick as they possibly can.
And that's the death of democracy. When you lose free speech, I mean, that's the most important thing. So then it's just the official word from the establishment, and that's all people are allowed to hear. They don't want any, and I mean, don't call that science. That's the opposite of science. So they just want there to be, here's our version, here's the truth, this is what you're going to do. And you're not even allowed to hear an alternative viewpoint. I mean, if people can't recognize that as tyranny, then we're kind of doomed.
I'm amazed that they can't. Because of my experience, I remember having, you know, hosting and producing, because I was a producer before I got behind the mic, or, you know, going way back into the late 90s. And we, can you imagine what it was like in the Republic of Ireland? Like, we would debate things like abortion. We would debate things like divorce. You'll probably know this, but divorce is a fairly recent thing in Catholic-dominated Republic of Ireland. But we would speak to everybody and anybody, and we would ensure that every single argument was heard. Nobody was banned or deemed, you know, well, that's unsayable. We would listen to everyone and anyone. And when we look now, and I know through your Twitter account, you do a stellar job of amplifying the tweets of men and women, Stacey, with the most impeccable academic credentials. Men and women who are saying, this is tyranny, folks. We don't need to take these jabs. Lockdowns are not very good. And these men and women, including, I think it's, forgive the dreadful pronunciation, but I read them all the time, it's Professor J. Batterche, is that how I pronounce that? Going after people like him and deplatforming people like him. It's astonishing, really.
It really is. And no one is more qualified than Jay. And he's got such a good heart, such a big heart. And it amazes me that people don't think about what's he getting from providing the alternative view. I mean, he's just getting smeared and attacked, and it's exhausting. And, you know, he's making everyone angry who could enrich him. You know, he's not making money. And the other side is, you know, the NIH, the National Institutes of Health in the U.S. is on the side of the vaccine mandates. They give out billions and billions of dollars in grants to universities, to individual researchers every year. And they, you know, work very closely with the pharmaceutical companies. There's a lot of money being made off of selling vaccines. Jay's not selling anything. He's just like, listen, you might want to think about this alternative viewpoint when you're making a decision whether to get the vaccine or not. He doesn't even say don't get the vaccine. He just doesn't believe lockdowns were done correctly, that he believes they didn't do anything. So do I. And he's suspicious of, you know, motives. And I don't understand why he's not more credible to everyone. And I guess it's because the simple thing is to turn on the TV in the morning. CBS News is on. The first 15 minutes, they just scare you about how scary COVID is and how everyone you know is going to die if you don't do these things. And then I suppose scared people are just irrational. But Jay is, you know, I'd recommend him to everyone. And he's got a lot of great colleagues behind him, too. And unfortunately, we don't have the voice that CNN can give to Dr. Fauci.
No, I have many contacts in mainstream media. Some of them are, you know, absolutely shocked at what's happening. There's one gentleman who's worked for the BBC for a number of years, a producer. He's leaving the BBC because he can't take it anymore. And I met a lady recently who works for the BBC. She works for BBC News at Media City in Salford. She's a lovely lady. And she acknowledged to me that the producers, with all the responsibility to fill programmes with content, you know, they're actively working to ensure that people like Jay and people like Dolores Cahill and people like Sucharit Bhakti in Germany, actively working to make sure these people don't get on the air. I don't know how they sleep. I really don't. I'm not perfect, me. I would never claim to be the greatest journalist that ever lived. Far from it. But I can go to sleep at night. I never in my career did I ever work against an opinion or work against a point of view. I always did everything I could to make sure that every point of view was heard. In fact, I was brought up as a journalist to leave my own opinion at the front door of the studio and to make sure, more importantly, that the people I didn't agree with, that they got their say. I've got to ask you this, Stacey. Bad news on Friday. The appeals court reinstated the vaccine mandate for businesses, which covers, I think, 80 million American workers. What does that mean? Is that really bad news? I'm hearing that there are going to be appeals to the U.S. Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, to get involved. What are your thoughts about this particular issue?
I mean, it's definitely not good news. It's not decisive news. I don't like to see courts ruling that way, obviously. But on the other hand, I'm not surprised. I expected it after watching the last 2 years go down. And the final word would be the Supreme Court. I'm positive it'll be appealed. And right now, it's as employers, they can do two things. They can continue with the mandate, assuming it's going to be enforced, or they can say, look, it's up in the air now. We're going to wait. And I think it's going to be interesting to watch which employers try to lean towards the side of freedom and their employees, and which ones just kind of cave in and say, There's a government push for this. We think we have enough ammo to just make you do it now and close the door on it. So I'm watching with interest to see which employers, like Intel initially was not going to do the mandate. Well, then somehow, I don't know if Biden changed it slightly, but they said anyone who does any work as a contractor of the federal government must vaccinate their employees. Well, then Intel didn't want to give up all of their federal contracts, so they were gradually putting this in place. And then when I think it was the Fifth Circuit ruled against the mandates, I think they paused it. Now we've got a new decision. So I'm just watching those companies, and I'm interested to see which ones are kind of my people versus not my people.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. What do, I'm not putting you on the spot now. I don't expect you to know this. You know plenty. I don't expect you to know this. What do we know about the makeup of the Supreme Court at the moment in terms of, you know, I should have done this myself, but I just don't have the bloody time. I'd love to have a look at the nine judges, the nine justices, and look at their opinions over recent years, but I just haven't had time to do that. Is there any hope? Is it a fairly conservative, you know, is it a fairly small government Supreme Court, or is it a bunch of lunatics? What do we know?
I used to be able to answer this in law school when I got out 2004. Yeah. Would have been able to tell you, here's the people on the court, here's their views, here's how they rule, these are their beliefs, these are their principles, here's how I think they'll rule on this or that. And the last couple of years, a lot of that has crumbled. I don't know if they've been infiltrated by lobbying or interests or whatever. I have no idea what's going on. The court should lean conservative based on when they were appointed, their decisions that were active when they were appointed. It should lean conservative, but that hasn't been happening. A lot of the election rulings, when the Trump election rulings were surprising to me based on the composition of the court. So I have to tell you, something has changed in the last 20 years. And that's one of the things that has really shaken me to my core, because I thought the Supreme Court was impeccable, no, incorruptible. Every single person on there had the highest integrity of, you know, that a human being can have. And that has, again, been shattered for me.
Stacey, we're just about out of time today. I'm sorry it's been so long since we last spoke. My only excuse is I work alone. It's hard for people to believe this, but I do. There's no producers or editors. I do the entire thing myself. Now, I'm not looking for praise for that, but in commercial radio, I normally have three or four people doing it with me. It's been brilliant, despite the gravity of what we're discussing. It's been great to catch up with you again. I'm genuinely sorry, I'm not just saying this, that you and your family find yourselves in the position that you do. But I hope from the bottom of my heart that it works out for you. This is extra stressful for you, and I'm not trying to make you emotional. I'm not doing that. But it must be extra stressful for you being a mother, because, you know, you're aware of this. You understand what's going on, but you're obviously worrying about your children, where they'll go in the future, what life will be like for them. That puts extra stress on you, right?
That's the hardest part. And the strangest thing is they want to move. Normally kids this age resist when you say we're moving, but they want to go. And I think they haven't been telling me. They know how I feel about COVID. And I don't think they've been giving me all the details of what, you know, how they're being treated, because I think almost all the kids have the vaccine now and they don't. And also, you know, they don't like the masks. Neither do I. I think the masks are child abuse. And they were just ready to go. The instant we said, you know, we're going to go somewhere, you can go to school without masks, they were just instantly ready to go. So at least for now, we can, you know, find a more human, more normal environment. But again, the future is really concerning. I don't know. I almost feel like everything, it's at such a bad point that it's going to just come to a head and things will just burn down in a huge catastrophe and we'll need a full rebuild. Because I think once in society's freedoms are taken away, life gets really bad for people. That's normally when empires crumble. And I don't know, that's where my mind goes. It's so bad already.
It's a brilliant way to leave it on a positive note. Yeah, maybe the centre can't hold. Maybe this can't continue. And maybe they've overplayed their hand. Stacey, Merry Christmas to you and your family. And thanks for giving us your time today and speaking candidly about your own situation. I hope we'll catch up in the early new year. And I hope your move goes well. And when we speak next time, there'll be more positive things to talk about. But for the moment, thanks so much. Folks, Stacey can be found, as I said earlier on Twitter, at Stacey_Rudin, R-U-D-I-N, but brownstone.org/author/Stacey-Rudin reader. Stacey, thanks so much. Great to catch up with you today.
Merry Christmas, Richie. Thanks for having me.
Brilliant to have you on. Thank you, Stacey. Lovely and kind of heartbreaking as well, listening to Stacey there and thinking about, you know, speaking earlier on about my better half and not being able to go back to France and the tyranny of all of it. It's 12 minutes to the top of the hour. How about, before I read more of your comments, we take this from Richard Ashcroft and The Verve. This is a song called Sonnet. That's right. From an album called Urban Hymns from 1998, which is a nice album, I think. I will interrupt the great Richard Ashcroft, Manchester's finest, just to bring you those comments by UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson a while ago, having been in meetings with his cabinet today to discuss the possibility of taking further action to protect the public, which isn't in need of any protection from anything. But here's Johnson. This is courtesy of the BBC. Here he is.
In view of the balance of risks and uncertainties, particularly around the infection hospitalisation rate of Omicron, how many people does Omicron put into hospital of the infected? And some other uncertainties to do with severity and booster effectiveness and so on. We agreed that we should keep the data from now on under constant review, keep following it hour by hour. And unfortunately, I must say to people, we will have to reserve the possibility of taking further action to protect the public and to protect public health, to protect our NHS, and we won't hesitate to take that action. But in the meantime, what I would say to everybody is, please exercise caution as you go about your lives. Please think of the guidance and think of protecting yourself and your loved ones. And please get a booster. Please get a vaccination. It could not be more urgent. There are still millions of people in this country who haven't got a vaccination, let alone a booster.
I mean, Prime Minister, there is a trust issue here. You're asking people to be cautious. They see the picture of you sitting in the Downing Street garden, drinking wine, eating cheese at a time when, you know, those were not within the rules. They don't buy that it's a work meeting. There are people on Twitter who say they had funerals of loved ones in the same week and they couldn't have that many people at their funerals. Do you understand why people are angry and why they might be less likely to do what you say?
Those were people at work talking about work.
So you were having a work meeting there.
And that's the best the so-called BBC journalist could do. Do you understand that people are angry? I talked about this in the monologue. Do you understand that people are angry that you didn't abide by the rules? Rather than say to him, are you out of your fucking mind? 2 years into this crap and you're still talking about taking vaccines and social distancing and not mixing people with at Christmas. It's a load of bollocks, isn't it, you little tyrant? You fat fucking tyrant, isn't it? It's all a lie, isn't it? It's a massive power grab. Massive power grab by people far, far more powerful than you. You puppet. That's a real question. Without the swearing, of course, leave the swearing out of it. You useless moron. Do you really think people still believe this garbage that there's a virus out there that's deadly and that's killing us all? Do you really believe that? And as for this overwhelming the NHS, sure, the NHS is not fit for purpose, is it, you fat bastard? 244,000 beds in 1989. Less than half that now. Population of 54.5 million in 1988. 67 million now. Do the maths. Do the mathematics, you wife-beating scumbag. Do the mathematics. No health service could survive such decimation, such undermining. There is no virus, is there? That's what a real journalist would say. Instead, she says, oh, you were having parties. But then, you know, it's unfair to blame the so-called journalist. I said it earlier on. I blame the people. I blame the people more than I blame the politicians for believing it, for not using their brains, for getting angry about parties and not getting angry about the obliteration of their human rights. It's amazing to me. The journalists, the presenters, they're hilarious. In one sense, talking about parties. The guy has said we reserve the rights that any time we want to take action to protect the public and to protect the NHS from Omicron, it's an open goal for anybody with a spine to annihilate him on live television. So you're a liar, aren't you? There is no Omicron variant. Who's pulling your strings? What did you do to be such a cuckold? A cuckold. What did you do? Was it sex? Is that how they got you, Johnson? Was it sex? Was it a business dealing? Was it something to do with your family? The game is up, son, you know. We know. But no, the media is driving it. And even then, I don't blame the media. I blame the goons that we live our lives with. The people among us who blindly go about their business wearing masks and frowning upon people who don't, and going on the radio to demand that people like you and people like me are punished because we won't take the poison on offer from monsters like Chris Whitty. Did you see Chris Whitty lately? Does he look well to you, or is it just me? That's it for Monday's Richie Allen Show. I'm back with you tomorrow, Tuesday, where Peter Ebdon is among the guests. Can't wait to catch up with Peter and Joe tomorrow. And we'll be speaking to the legendary Freds, Right Said Fred, on Wednesday. Thank you so much to Tom Renz, attorney at law, and to the absolutely lovely Stacey Rudin for their company on today's programme. You enjoy the rest of your Monday. Look after yourselves and one another. See you tomorrow. This is a bit Christmassy, I suppose. Played it yesterday on the Melodies programme. Bye now.